is a privilege to be here, and I bring you greetings from the Lord's Baptist Church in Tacoma, Washington. We're thankful that the Lord has blessed us with the grace to keep on keeping on there in that place. I want to thank you for the invitation to come and preach in the conference. It's an honor and a privilege. And especially, Brother Dan, I want to thank you for the early slot. It's my favorite time to preach is first night and get it all over with and then relax and enjoy the preaching from then on. I love that slot. So I don't know if you knew that or not, but that we're, the providence of God is wonderful, isn't it? Amen. Amen. This church is a very hospitable church. I learned that the very first time I came. And I've enjoyed your hospitality year after year. And I really appreciate it. Love you, Brother Charlie, wherever you're at. He's my preacher sitter. And he takes care of me. I might need a glass of water, brother. I'm not used to preaching to crowds this large. And when the opportunity comes around, I get real nervous and dry cotton mouth sets in. But I thank you for the privilege, and I hope that you will... if the Lord brings me to mind when you're praying, please pray for me and for the work in Tacoma, Washington. We need the Lord's blessings up there, and as all true churches do, I know that, I understand that, but I'm just so grateful to be here, and I don't know how to express my gratitude, but I love you, and I appreciate you. It's a lot of things happened in the last year for me. I don't know if you remember, but last year we were all excited about a possible trip to the Ukraine. Some of you heard about that and was praying with us about it. It fell through. Praise the Lord. If what happened had to happen, I'm glad it happened when it happened. So we're rejoicing in that, and we was able to publish a couple of books in the year, and one of them is called Traveling for God, and the story about the trip to Ukraine is in that book, if you're interested. And there's some bookmarkers. Brother Dan was gracious enough to let me put some bookmarkers back there on the back table. It tells a little bit about what the books are about. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Anyway, I don't believe in merchandising in the house of God, so I'm not going to say much more about that, but I do have some books in Charlie's car and some watches. Incident on May the 6th, and everybody thought I was having a heart attack, and I wound up in the hospital for 3 days, and they run a bunch of tests, and it wasn't a heart. It was something they call horizontal vertigo, and it knocked me out for a while, and it still flares up every once in a while when I get excited and nervous. So pray for me about that too. Let's get into the message. I was talking to Brother Dan picked me up from the airport. Brother Ben was with him, and I like to be settled on what I'm going to preach on when I go somewhere to preach. And I wasn't settled this time. And I just want you to know that I still believe the doctrine of grace. I still believe the landmark church truths. So, okay? But I want to preach tonight on the subject of full, free, and forever salvation.
Amen.
In the book of Exodus, chapter 14 and verse 13, Exodus 14, verse 13, to save a lot of time, we'll just read this one verse. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever.
Amen.
Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we come before thy throne of grace, asking that you might meet with us now in a very special way. Father, we just thank you for the privilege of gathering together like this in one of thy true churches, and to sit under the preaching of men of God who stand up and say, Thus saith the Lord. And we just rejoice in that, and we look forward to the blessings throughout the conference now. And I ask you, Lord, just be with me. Help me, Father, to preach in a way that would honor the Lord. Father, if there's any that are unsaved here tonight, I ask you, O God, show them how undone they are. Show them their lost condition. And then, Father, if you would be so merciful, oh, show them Christ in a way that they couldn't help but flee to him for rescue. God, I pray for every child of God that's here, every true believer, no matter where they're at right now in their spiritual life, in those 8 steps that Brother Jerry was talking about. God, help each and every believer here tonight to be focused on the things of God. And purpose, to have a purpose in their heart to honor and glorify the Lord no matter what. And to love their neighbor as herself. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Our text is taken, as you, I'm sure, are very aware of the story. It's taken from the story there of the deliverance of Israel from Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea. And hopefully you remember that story. From all appearances, they were doomed. They had nothing to look forward to but destruction. Understand that. But God granted salvation that day.
Amen.
And that salvation was full, it was free, and it was forever.
Amen.
It was full. It was full because they were all brought through the waters safely that day. And their enemy was totally destroyed. That's full salvation. It was free because it required nothing of them but just to simply trust God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. As a matter of fact, they even came out better after leaving Egypt. They left with a high hand, if you remember right. The Egyptians said, Here, you want some more? Take this. Just go. And he went, leaving Egypt with a high hand. And then when the king went back on his, you know, he got to rethinking the situation and went after them. There they were with their backs to the ocean, backs to the water. Where could they go? They come up and there's this big, large body of water. Can't go that way, can't go this way. They turn around and here comes Pharaoh charging down upon them in all of his mighty, fierce wrath. But they were free. Full and free salvation. And it even says, and ye shall see them again no more forever. So it's full, free, and forever. They have never been, nor shall they ever be again in the bondage that they were in to Egypt. It'll never happen again. God says so. There are many other things I suppose that we could learn from this story. But tonight I just want to briefly consider these things and apply them to salvation. Our salvation. I want us to see that God's salvation of lost sinners today is simply the same thing. It's the same thing. You're in a place where you have no hope. Destruction is about to fall upon you. And there's no hope. But God is merciful. I'm sorry. But I learned that from Brother Asbury. But salvation is the same thing. God doesn't change. Amen. And his salvation is always the same. Amen. It's full. It's free. And it's forever. I want you to notice, first of all, how full our salvation is in Christ. In 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians there. Chapter 5, and just a couple of verses, 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. That's our God. That's the God of our salvation. He grants full salvation. I mean, every aspect of your humanity is saved by the sovereign grace of God. He saves you in your spirit. He saves you in your soul. He saves you in your body. All the way through, inside and out, up to, from the top of your head down to the bottom of your feet. If you're saved by the sovereign grace of God, you're saved with full salvation. Amen. The salvation of God saves the whole man. He saves everything about you. If you're truly saved, everything about you is saved. If there's just one little area of your being that's not saved, you're not saved. Because God's salvation is full salvation. Hear me tonight. I'm talking to a room full of church people. But many times church people don't have full salvation. I want you to seriously think about it. We've already had preachers mention this, and it's on my heart too. I would love to see God work a work of grace in this Bible conference and call some lost sinner to salvation. Your spirit is saved by regeneration and justification. And this has to do with your standing before God. In Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 chapter 2 verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's talking about that new birth experience where God regenerates you. Down in verses 4 and 5 it says, but God. I'm so thankful for those two words. But God, who is rich in mercy. Yeah, we're supposed to be merciful, brother. I say amen to that. It's so true. God help us all to be more merciful. Jesus was a merciful man. Even though he was sent to the children of Israel when a Syrophoenician woman came begging for help. And he said, well, it's not right to give bread that should be given to the children, to the dogs. And she said, oh, yes, that's true, Lord. I admit that. But even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, oh, great faith. Oh, woman, you have great faith. Amen. He had mercy on her. And a miracle happened that day. Christ is full of mercy. And if we're little Christ-like ones, that's the way we are to be. We're to be full of mercy. Filled up with the love of God. And the mercy of God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it talks about being justified by faith. And because of that, we have peace with God. So in our spirit, when God saves us, he saves us in our spirit. And we're regenerated. The old wicked, depraved, dead, stony heart, it's new. It's made anew. In the salvation experience, the Bible salvation, in God's salvation, it's full. And it starts on the inside, in the spirit. When the preaching of the gospel is driven home by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And your soul is saved by conversion and sanctification. The soul, when I think of the soul, I think of that part of our being that's really us. When we fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, our souls fellowship. It's not just a thing, you know, that, well, that's a good-looking preacher. Oh, that's an old, bald-headed preacher. Oh, that's a fat, ugly preacher. It's not that at all. When God's people get together and fellowship, it's soul-to-soul kind of fellowship. Amen. And it's beautiful. And when you have full salvation, you're saved in your soul. And you fellowship soul to soul with God's people. Amen. It has to do with your day-to-day life. Amen. It has to do with the way you live and where you live and how you live. If it doesn't affect you that way, then you don't have full salvation. And if you don't have full salvation, you don't have any salvation. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 30 and 31. It says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. When you have true biblical salvation, it's full salvation in your spirit and in your soul. It's through and through. Not only are you justified and right in the standing of God as far as your legal standing goes, but day in and day out, you are sanctified. You are, what's that? Sanctified. You're set apart.
Amen.
Unto the things of God.
Amen.
You are different.
Amen.
And I mean that in a good way.
Amen.
I've been told that all my life. But one day the Lord made me different in a good way.
Yes.
Sanctified, set apart unto the Lord.
Amen.
That's full salvation. Real, true, full salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Everybody has memorized that, I'm sure. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. All things become new. Things are different now. Why? Well, not because you've been justified. You have been if you got full salvation. But if you got full salvation, you're not only justified, you're being sanctified. Day in and day out in your Christian life as you live for the Lord. And if sanctification is not happening in your life, question mark your justification.
Amen.
Because salvation that comes from God is full salvation. It's both justification and sanctification. You're saved in your spirit and in your soul. 2 Peter 3:17-18. You know those verses of scripture there that talk about us growing in grace. That's sanctification. That's part of the full salvation. If you're not growing in grace, there's something wrong. You should have doubts, and you do. If you're not growing in grace, you've got doubts. It's just the way it goes. The more you grow in grace, the more you get into the Word of God and feast on the Word of God and drink it in like a baby drinks milk, the more you'll grow. And the less doubt you'll have. And the more assurance you'll have of your salvation. Because salvation, if it's real true salvation, it's God's salvation. And he gives, what kind of salvation? Full salvation. Absolutely full. It's full. If it comes from God, it's the whole package. God gives the whole package in salvation. You don't get the economy model when it comes to salvation from God. You get the full package. That's the way he is. That's our God. Let him that glorieth glory in him. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 are all very famous verses of Scripture. We quote them all the time. Sometimes we have a tendency to leave off verse 10.
Yeah.
But verse 10 tells us that we are his workmanship.
Amen.
Created in Christ.
Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen. That's part of the full salvation. Amen. God works it in you. You say, well, you are you preaching good works? Yeah, I'm preaching good works.
Amen.
I tell the people in Tacoma, good works, I don't care who does them or who doesn't. Good works are by nature good. It's the right, if it's the right thing to do, do the right thing, and that's good. You say, well, yeah, but yeah, I might not do it with the right heart. Well, it's your heart that's wrong, it's not the good works. Good works are good. Don't let anybody discourage you from doing good works because, well, maybe I'm not doing it with the right heart. Good works are good. Do good works. And if you got a bad heart about it, then fix that problem too. I mean, get that solved. I mean, maybe what you need is full salvation.
Yeah.
And you know, part of the package is has to do with your body too. Spirit, soul, and body. Your body is saved by resurrection or rapture and glorification. So there we have the justification, sanctification, glorification. It's the full package. That's the kind of salvation God gives. Do you have that kind of salvation tonight? I hope so. I hope that every sweet little soul out there has full salvation. But it might be that someone's here who doesn't. Oh, and it's our prayer. I would venture to say that even at this moment, there may be scores in here right now praying for you, lost friend, that you might come to the place of peace and safety in Jesus Christ. Oh, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He gives full, free, forever salvation. Yeah, it's free. It's a free gift. There's no doubt about that. Romans 5:15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. You know what that verse says? Bad news is not everybody's going to be saved. Doesn't say all. It says many. I'm glad it says many. Salvation is full. It's free. And it's forever. It costs man nothing. Those Israelites back there by the Red Sea, they didn't know what to do. They were hopelessly doomed to destruction. There was no hope. And God spoke to Moses and he said, stretch out your rod. And he said, tell the people, I'll save them. And the message was, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what we need to do. Oh, today, in our evangelism methods today, it's enough to get people so wired up. Oh, we're so busy doing this and doing that. You know, oh, come down the aisle. Pray the sinner's prayer. Sign the pledge card. Oh, they get them down there and they lay hands on them. Oh, and they one fellow said, tell them, hang on, brother. The other person said, let go, brother. And they're so busy. They're so busy trying to do something. End of March, I was at a Bible conference in California. One of our church members was there with us. And One night, we went out for supper after the services one night, and then Cookie went to Walmart, and while she was there, she met a lady. Cookie's real stoved up. She's got all kinds of physical problems, and she had to ride one of those motorized shopping carts. And she drove that out to her van, and she was unloading her things. And there was two little Mexican girls standing there watching her as she strained to unload the stuff out of her cart. And one of the little girls said, "Ma'am, would you like for me to take this cart back up there to the store for you?" And Cookie said, "Oh, thank you. God bless you." And she took off, and the other one said, "Do you go to church?" And Cookie says, "Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, we're right in the middle of a Bible conference right now. You should come with me tomorrow." And guess who was sitting right next to me the next day in the pew? Cookie and Sophia. And guess who sat across the table from me at lunchtime and spent the whole noon hour asking questions about salvation?
Amen. Amen.
Sophia.
Amen.
And bless her heart. I know what that means now.
You can
say anything you want to about somebody as long as you preface it with bless your heart. She wanted me so bad to tell her she was saved. Because after all, she invited Jesus into her heart when she was 13. And then she did it again when she was 14 or 15. And you know, she's been in and out of these different things. And she gets all worked up and she's feeling good about herself. And the next thing, she's down. And she wanted me to tell her, and she kept asking questions, and I would answer her question, and then she would say, "Then you don't think I'm saved?" Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We're so busy inviting Jesus into our heart that we can't have anything to do with the full salvation that God's giving freely. God help us to recognize that in our modern day methods of evangelism. We're still praying for Sophia. We got her connected with a good sound church there in the Sacramento area. And I believe they'll follow up. And we're just praying. That's all we can do is pray for her. We gave her the scriptures. But I can't tell people they're saved. I can point them to Jesus Christ. And I can tell them, stand still and see. And God's got to show it to them. But it's free. It is absolutely free to us. It's not cheap. It's free, but it's not cheap. Salvation costs God His only begotten Son. It costs the Lord of glory His precious blood. So it's not cheap by any stretch of the imagination. Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, we could go on to John the third chapter and all of the beautiful verses of Scripture there. That brings out the beautiful gift. John 3:16. One of the most precious verses of Scripture in the Bible. You know, you say, yeah, you know, they just wear that out. You cannot wear out the Word of God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. In other words, He loved this wicked old world in such a magnificent, marvelous way that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him might have everlasting life. You know, why do we skip over that verse just because we think that, you know, it's been printed so many times, it's been quoted so many times, and you know, our Armenian brethren, they just murder it. And but so what? It's the Word of God. It's Scripture, and it's precious. Thank God for John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. That's the best gift this world has ever seen, is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Romans 5, verses 6 and 7. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, there it is again, but God commendeth, oh, the good old King James, ETH, you know what that means, right? It's continual action. Anytime you see the ETH, I love to see the ETH in my Bible. God commendeth. He just keeps on commending His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's salvation that's full and free. And then lastly, it's forever. Yeah, amen. You better believe it, brother. Yeah. It's forever. It is absolutely forever. Yeah, I'm one of them. It's forever. Now, let me say something. Since I said that, I think it's true that many people will lose their salvation. Because it's theirs. They got it by something they did or something they're not doing. And when they stop doing what they did to get it, it's gone. They lose it. They lose it. But God's salvation is forever. John, the 10th chapter. Starting in verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life." What kind of life?
Eternal.
Amen. Eternal life. Salvation is full. It is free. give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's what you need today. That's what you need tonight. That's what you need before you step outside the church doors tonight. You need a salvation that's full, free, and forever. If you've never been saved by the sovereign grace of God, may you see your need of salvation tonight. Destruction is coming down fast. It's coming down hard. It's a reality. Just as sure as Pharaoh's army was thundering across the sand toward the Red Sea that day, your destruction is coming just the same. And you need a salvation that's full, free, and forever. Stand still. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord.